Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. Health, wellness, and fitness. 5 days a week.
Narcissism may seem like a modern epidemic. Everybody's taking selfies all over the place and telling you every single thing that they're doing, whether they're going to the bathroom or eating an apple. Like, you really need to know every single thing that person is doing. And narcissism used to be sort of relegated to those in power who wanted you to know how cool they were and everything was all about them all the time. But how do you know if you're in a relationship with one now? And do these things determine whether someone is a narcissist? My guest today is Dr. Ramani Darvasula. Darvasula.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There we go. Darvasula. She's a licensed clinical psychologist in private practice in Santa Monica, California. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ramani. So tell us a little bit about, I'm going to say your first name because then I won't mess it up. Tell us about narcissism in this day and age. Is it different than it used to be?
Well, I mean, I think narcissism is now much more prevalent, and we've sort of created a society that's almost like a petri dish that just keeps growing it faster and faster. You're right. It has always been around, but the fact is people didn't put up with it in the same way. We didn't have as many places to express it. And now it's sort of the new world order, and it's here to stay. And the fact is, we're not going to change that. So we're going to have to figure out ways to work around it.
Okay, so clearly, like you say, it's a petri dish.
We've created that world. I mean, that's what the world is.
We absolutely have.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't understand the selfie thing, because nobody looks good in selfies because you're holding the phone thing so close to you. Your face looks big and round. I do not, but of course my phone doesn't really take selfies or text, but I'm encouraging my children to stop with the selfies because I don't like that thought of them selfie, 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 and then putting them on. So a real narcissist, though, this is a fun bit of technology, and we may be creating this, but what about those people that are really the interrupters, the people who always top your story, the people who go up with a story of their own when you're telling, you know, yours? How do you identify a real true narcissist?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because one selfie does not a narcissist make.
That's what I'm
thinking. Because when we talk about narcissism, we're talking about something far more profound and deep. We're talking about a lack of empathy. We're talking about arrogance. We're talking about entitlement, grandiosity, sort of that they live a far more interesting and exalted life than anybody else. As a result, as you said, they can interrupt us because what could we have to say that's important given how important they are? Or they simply don't care about other people. And they're also very superficial. Their concerns are more like, what do you look like, rather than who you are, and they're constantly, constantly seeking validation, which is why social media is often like the mothership for narcissists, because it's built to seek out and get validation. So it's a bit more of a deep construct, and the key elements are the things like that lack of empathy, the arrogance, the entitlement, and the grandiosity.
Okay, so you're with somebody who's like that, the empathy, the grandiosity, the them just not letting you get the word in because they are just that much more important. So what do you do? Now, I'm a ball buster, okay, Dr. Ramani? I am not somebody who lets someone get away with that, and I'll say, you know what, I'm telling a story here, and there's nothing that says your story is much more interesting than mine, and I'll call them out on it. And then they sometimes will huff away or look affronted but what are you supposed to do? Because you can't bust on them all the time, because that just doesn't work. They just keep doing it.
Well, they're not going to stop. So it's a lot of this comes down to knowing the territory. If for some reason you do have a narcissist in your life, and my book is very focused on relationships, but these can also be friends, family members, coworkers, people who are in your life, is that there's a couple of reactions you can expect. If you really do call them out, as you're suggesting you do, you can expect some rage and anger. Narcissists are very bad at managing their emotions. They don't like feeling sad, so they'll often convert that into this extreme rageful anger, which can be sort of scary and definitely off-putting for other people. So, and we often think, well, let me give them some feedback on their behavior, and so maybe they'll change. And honestly, that works with most people. If you tell me I'm doing something wrong, I'll say, oh my goodness, I wasn't even aware, thank you, and I will catch myself. But that's how they're wired. So the feedback may make you feel good because you've communicated, but it's going to get you nowhere fast. So then the question is, are you going to keep them around? Are you going to engage them the same way? Because this is the territory. When it's wintertime in Chicago, you got to wear a coat. Don't be surprised when you walk out and you're cold and say, well, I want to wear a tank top. Tough. It's the same with a narcissist. This is what you're dealing with. Adjust to the territory.
So adjusting to the territory, getting out of the relationship, calling them out doesn't necessarily work, but may make you feel better in the short term.
Yeah, but it's frustrating. I mean, when you communicate something to someone clearly like that, those words were hurtful to me. Please, you know, that was made everyone uncomfortable. If they don't care, you might as well be speaking gibberish to them. That can be frustrating when it happens time after time, to not be heard, to not be listened to. I mean, again, think about that in a workplace. If you're telling people something and they're saying, we don't care what you have to say, that is an incredibly frustrating experience. You may know the territory, but that doesn't make it any less frustrating and stressful for you to not be heard.
Do you think some people are drawn to narcissists and they want to stay in those?
I think everybody is. Yeah,
they want to stay in that relationship because they feel like for some reason that person. So people buy into the narcissist's version of themselves.
Well, it's not that. I mean, keep in mind, we're talking about all the dark traits of narcissism. Narcissists are also very charismatic. They're very magnetic. I mean, they're very grandiose. When you listen to someone talking about their grandiose life or plans and you've just met them, your first tendency is not to question them, but to get drawn in. And so we get drawn into all this bluster and bravado, and then before we know it, the lack of empathy kicks in. You realize that they've been talking at you for 2 months, not talking with you. And yet, there's a lot of good research that shows people higher in narcissistic traits are more likely to be successful in acquiring new partners. We're drawn to that. We're drawn to that magic, and we are not socialized. There's never fairy tales about the princess running off with the really sweet, self-effacing guy in the corner who's reading a book.
Wow. So if they're more successful in business, maybe I need to really up my narcissism ante there. Because, yeah, boy, that would be good. But so what do you want people to know about this? As you say, they're charming and they're larger than life in some respects. Being married to one, which I'm not, but I would imagine would get annoying pretty quick. So what do you recommend people do, and how do you recommend we parents keep our children from falling into this petri dish of narcissism?
I mean, these are both important questions and quite different. You know, to the first one around partners, listen, Melanie, I'm not going to be so naive to say that, hey, you're married to a narcissist, you may want to get out. If you've been with someone for 20, 25, 30 years, you may not want to dismantle that. But I'm saying to people, this is the territory, okay? So again, it's cold in the winter. Please don't act surprised that you've been experiencing these patterns for 30 years. Why would you think they'd all of a sudden change? Sadly, most of the relationship literature out there is about communicate. Communicate clearly. Communicate differently. Be more mindful. Mindfulness and communication only work if both people are on the same page and both people are listening. This person never listened to you. So it's really about deciding. My book is called Should I Stay or Should I Go? Surviving a Relationship with a Narcissist. So staying is often the only option some people see. And I'll often say, you need to build up other places where you get support and feedback from, because you aren't going to get it from this person.
That's great advice. Building it up in other places, because you're really not going
to
get it from that person.
But Melanie, we live in a culture where a marriage is always viewed as a one-stop shop. This person is supposed to be my everything. You got to outsource. Just like you wouldn't go to a jewelry store to buy a hammer, you've got to outsource. You got to plan on going to different places. And I think that's any healthy relationship, but it's really pronounced here. But to your other question, which I think is equally important.
And we only have about 35 seconds.
Okay. How do we parent our kids? Listen to them. Because if we model what real listening and empathy looks like, they learn that. When they're talking to you, put your phone down and look at them in the face. And hear them out and listen to them non-judgmentally. Because when we don't listen, they think that that's the new world order. So we've got to model what healthy empathy and good listening look like.
Rock on. Some of the best advice we have had on these shows in a very long time. And I hate it when people don't look up from their phone when I'm talking to them. Where in the world do you want to go and stare down at your phone? That's what we say. Should I Stay or Should I Go? Surviving a Relationship with a Narcissist. And you can get that book anywhere at Amazon. And I'm telling you what, we're creating this stuff. So we got to stop it right now. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.